My name is David Taplin. My wife Sarah and I have visited RBC for about a year and a half. I grew up in Pawpaw, lived in Kalamazoo for a while. My wife and I, with our kids, live in Lawton. We have Audrey, Haley, Brett, Madeline, and Zachariah. I want to take a moment just to thank the RBC members and the elders for giving me the opportunity to stand here. I was raised in a Christian home. I attended a Christian school for 13 years prior to graduating. I attended the same church for the entire period. And I do thank God for the culture of those three places. I know that He not only knew I would be brought up in a Christian home, but He planned it. He knew that I would be there and planned my spiritual growth through each of those three places. When I was 5 years old, I believe God moved His hand over my life and touched me. He called me. He saved me. Looking back, I got up from bed one Sunday evening after church, went into the kitchen where my parents were, and told them I needed to be saved. My dad came back with me to my room. He knelt with me and we prayed. I believe I came to my true father that day. Just like John 6:44 says, no one can come to the Father. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I believe that all those years of listening, while maybe not listening attentively, God used. Verses like Isaiah 55:11 that says, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God used His words and in His sovereign plan reached down into my little heart and called me to Himself. And there in my bedroom, kneeling next to my bunk bed, God completed a step that He promised from the foundation of the earth. I followed His leading to be baptized a few years later in a baptistry much like the one behind me. God has continued to work in my life from age 5, in spite of my fighting against Him. I have never doubted the doctrine of eternal security. However, I have come to believe something more. What I mean is that the more and more I study the Bible, the less and less important it is for me to point to a day when I was 5 and say, I'm saved. I am saved. But I know I'm saved because He's keeping me. He is continuing to work His sovereign hand over my desire for Him so that I will not fall away. Every day I wake up desiring Him is a day that He kept me through the night. This is how I know I'm saved today. Every day of my life, I believe I need to show that He is my Savior, not just a ticket out of something that I don't want. Verses like Jude 24 ring in my mind as clear as a bell. It says this. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. I stand on this verse and other similar verses as my security for salvation rather than just a story from my past. In recent years, in studying the Bible more, listening to countless messages from a warrior of our faith, God has changed me, and I pray and ask Him to continue to change me. God wanted to unseat my wife and I in our comfortable situation. That's what I believe. His plan was to take our complacency and lack of a fighting passion and eliminate it. He wanted us to trust Him and not a system, not just a tradition. Something was missing before, and that something was a right view of God. That's a major issue. I believe that God in the past 2 years has been drawing my wife and I closer to Himself. Yahweh is becoming the God to me that He has always been, but I just didn't see it that way. I believed in God, I was saved, but in my thinking and practical living, more of my life depended on me and not Him. I would fall back on God is in control in dire situations and when things didn't work out right or didn't make sense, but that's not enough. What God has done in the last few years is point texts out to me that have shattered my worldview. Things in my life don't really matter as much. What I wear to church or to important events doesn't please God any more than wearing something different. Having hair touching my ears doesn't displease God any more than if it didn't. Some verses has helped me here as well, like Psalm 14:3 and Psalm 53:3, which say, They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Romans 3:10-12 says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. These verses described me perfectly before he saved me. Without his grace, his saving grace, I would remain there. If he pulled back from me, I would be there yet again and would never, ever change. Knowing this now, as I'm older, makes my salvation even more amazing and more undeserved. I want to throw myself at his mercy and grace and trust him completely for all he did, knowing what he has done in calling me and keeping me is a foreshadowing of his future grace that he plans to show me for all eternity. Christ has become the greatest picture of God's love, his wrath, his justice, his mercy, and his grace. The supremacy of Christ is weighing heavily on my heart and changing my thinking. What Christ has done impels me to do the things he asks, requires, and desires me to do. I know that I can't follow or obey unless he grants it to me. We can only speak in the language we know. I feel very inept stating in our simple language words to describe the gratitude I have for what God has done in my life, both when I was 5, when I was 30, and all the years in between. And from the beginning of time. I can't fathom that I was in his mind and plan from that moment, and what he's doing today is completing what he had in his being at that moment. The fact that God uses me through sin, obedience, or indifference to glorify himself is not only evidenced in other lives in the Bible, it is amazing and provides more ground to praise him for an eternity. For a long time, God has been made to fit in a certain box in my life. As he has softly and effectively used Scripture, he has destroyed those parameters and has made much of himself to me. As I grow closer to him, he overshadows everything this world has to offer. Christ has become everything. I'd like to close with two verses that have jumped off the pages at me. The first one is Revelation 13:8. And all who dwell on earth will worship it, speaking of the beast. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who was slain. Romans 11:33-36. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I just want to thank you for letting us join RBC. I don't know a time in my life where I've grown more in my walk with Christ. A lot of people have a history that's plagued with hardships and trials, and they can strongly feel that rescuing of the Savior. I, on the other hand, have been very blessed in that area. I grew up in a Christian home and have spent almost all my life surrounded by godly men and women, yet I still feel that I'm a rescued sinner. I was saved when I was 5, and I'm so very thankful for that little seed of faith that the Holy Spirit planted. God had been my Savior since that moment. And when I was 13 and just beginning junior high school, I was baptized. But I don't think it was until a few years ago when my relationship with him began to really grow. We were teaching the youth group at our previous church, and in our preparation, God used that time of study to teach me more about himself. David had been listening to the Tulip series and would point out verses, and I would be like, how come I've never heard that part of the verse before, or where did that verse come from? I'm still saying that a lot, actually. It was a complete picture of my God that I had never seen before, a 100% God. Like verses found in Romans 8, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That part I knew by heart, but it was the next part of the verse that required more thought. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. He is in control, and he has been from the very beginning. It was a big relief to know that my salvation was not dependent on something I could do or have not done. My favorite verse recently is Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also, not with him, graciously give us all things? It's a humbling thought to realize that the God of all the universe gave up his only Son for me. How could we not trust him? We've enjoyed getting to know so many of you, and we love growing together and learning more about the heart of our Savior. And I'm very thankful for a church like this where we can bring our kids and worship together and grow together and learn the entire Word of God.
I'm Ryan, and thank you for this opportunity. So for me, I thought I was on the right track in life. You know, I was in my 20s. I thought things were going very well. I was married. I had two children and a great job. I traveled a lot, just about every week. You know, I thought I was living the American dream. You know, traveling, you know, not a big deal. I was on the up and up. I was making it. And that was my job, right? To work hard and provide financially for my family. That was my role as a husband and a father. And God, yeah, I believed in God. And I think that I believed that Jesus died on the cross to save me from my sins. But that was about as far as it went. I tucked my faith away in a box and placed it on a shelf. After all, I believed. And because I believed, I was covered, right? My salvation was a gift given to me. I could return and pull it off the shelf when it was convenient for me, couldn't I? Isn't that how it works? Well, not exactly. Soon this false sense of security and success started to give way. It was like I was walking on a lake of ice as the ice was melting. Soon the ice started to crack right under my feet and then crash. I fell into the icy abyss. And it felt like I had hit rock bottom. I was shaken, angry, confused, and desperate. Nothing really seemed to make sense. I did not have the answers. My marriage... My marriage and my home were falling apart right before my eyes. And I did not have a clue how to make things right. I was living this pagan life. Sure, I was surrounded by many Christians at home, and I went to church. But I was living as a pagan. And to be honest, some of what happened next is a bit of a blur. Emily and I had hit rock bottom in our marriage. We had a lot of tough conversations. There was a lot of emotion, counseling. And then there was this homeschool conference. I listened to this guy speak on the biblical role of a husband and father. And it was a wake-up call. God used that speaker to begin changing my heart and turning it towards him. It's like the next thing I know, I'm watching a bunch of biblical videos at home, and things just started to click. God had given me a new heart and a new set of eyes so that I could begin to understand his word. God began a saving work in my life at that conference, but I cannot point to a specific moment that I feel I was saved. For me, it was a period of time in which God saved me. It was like he was rocking my world over and over again for many months. My marriage started to heal. I started to understand my role as a husband and father, biblically. I started to understand and develop a biblical worldview. And I started to recognize my sin and the false idols in my life, of which there were many. But none of this was my own doing. I cannot take credit for this. It has become crystal clear that this was the work of our sovereign Lord and Savior. He had been using events in my life to draw me to him over a long period of time, and I had no idea. It is by far the most amazing thing that I have ever experienced. I feel like a completely different, a completely new person. I am now alive, no longer dead in my sins, thanks to the saving work of Jesus Christ. I recognize that I am but a child in my faith and have a long journey ahead of me. I need to be shepherded, mentored, guided, and held accountable in my faith. I look forward to growing daily in my faith and for the ongoing gift of sanctification. Brothers and sisters, I am so thankful for each and every one of you. You have received my family with your arms wide open. It has meant so much to me. You have nurtured and supported us and have loved us. I thank the Lord for each one of you.
Well, how do you follow that? My name is Emily, and I'm married to Ryan. We have three beautiful children, Sophie, Molly, and Samuel, and this is my story. I was born and raised in the church, and at a young age, my parents instilled a love for the church body, and I was always very passionate about being with them and experiencing life with them. I went through all the typical rites of passage for a young child in the church, baptism as an infant, Sunday school, Bible studies, youth group, you name it, I was there and involved. It was at summer camp when I was 11 years old when I realized the need for Christ in my life. I needed a Savior, and I wanted a relationship with him. I remember praying and asking Christ to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I made profession of faith at age 14, and throughout the next few years, I would attempt to live for Christ. The only problem was that I did it on my own works and not necessarily through him. During my school years, I was very passionate about Christ, but only in the company of my youth group friends. I invited friends at church to church or to youth group, but that was about the end of it. I had very little confidence in my faith when I had to stand up for it, and I was afraid of not knowing all the right answers. So I never shared Christ with my peers. I went through my falling away period in college. Church attendance just wasn't very important to me, but I still tried to be decent in my actions, and as I look back, I can see where the Holy Spirit was truly convicting me and turning me back to him. Ryan and I had grown up in the church together. We had never really had much interest, and I still laugh at the fact that the guy that I met in middle school I'm now married to. But when we were reconnected through a small group that our church had started for the college-age crowd, and were married in 2005, the Lord blessed us with two beautiful daughters, and I stayed home while Ryan worked hard to dutifully provide for us. We attended the same church we had grown up in, and we were blissfully happy, living the dream, and all was good. I was extremely involved at our church, attending moms groups, leading worship and Bible study, and I was trying hard to be a good Christian by doing the things that I thought were expected of me. God was always there, and I know he was shaping and molding me, teaching me, but for the most part, I was living a works-based faith. 4.5 years into our marriage, everything fell apart. I didn't realize how weak my faith was. The foundation on which I had built that faith was unsteady. Instead of choosing the truth, I chose the lie that I deserved happiness and I should have it no matter what. I was a bitter and angry wife. Ryan and I had neglected our marriage so much that we despised each other. Praise God for his grace, though. He exposed our weaknesses and we knew immediately what needed to change. Our foundation had been built on the sand of this world and the storm had washed it away. But now it was time to rebuild, brick by brick. Very slowly, we committed to starting over. The Lord was beginning a mighty work in me. I started to realize that the things or works that I did to show my love for God didn't do anything until God changed my heart. He did this through biblical teaching about marriage and family and God's beautiful design for it all. I began to learn about my role as a wife and as a mother, and most importantly, a believer in Christ. God stirred in us a passion to turn our family toward him and to have a marriage designed by the Creator. Part of the vision God was giving us was to find a church where our family was central to the church body and our children would grow up sitting in the pew with us on Sunday morning. We desired a church that would teach and preach the word and not back down, a church that would hold us accountable, and we have been so blessed by the teaching and the believers here at RBC. We are extremely thankful to all of you. Over the past year, I finally realized how much I need Jesus. I now understand how dead I was in my sins. I will never choose what is good, what is right, and what is pleasing to the Lord on my own. My sin can often feel overwhelming, but He is the conquering King who has purchased me through His death. For I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious, precious blood of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Hi. Most of you know me, but for those of you who don't, I'm Betsy Koistra. I am the daughter to Laura and Kent Koistra. And having grown up in a Christian home, I can't point to the exact date of my salvation. But I can point to the 14th year of my life as a time of immense doubt and spiritual development. Around that time, I began to realize the true frailty of my own body as I was undergoing both physical and speech therapy. I became angry and discontent about being made the way I am. I didn't want the emotional and physical pain that I experienced on a day-to-day basis. I didn't want to be taught how to walk and talk the right way. I was quickly confused by the reminders to stand up straight or say that S again, misinterpreting what was meant as encouragement as attacks on me personally. So instead of facing the real world as it was and my own flaws, I tried to ignore it. I became lazy and self-righteous, not completing any of my school or any exercises assigned by either therapists, and I stopped supporting my family's home life. I would bury my insecurities within myself, trying to suppress my negative emotions. I tried different coping methods to deal with my feelings, such as video games, movies, or fictional books, to name just a few. But time after time, my emotional escapes failed to bring me the security that I needed. My pain, doubt, and insecurities remained no matter what I did. I doubted my worth, my abilities. I doubted my salvation. A root of bitterness had taken hold, and I was angry. I was confused. Despair filled my heart and my mind, and I remember an overwhelming sense that I was not saved, but desperately needed to be. I tried to save myself through works, but instead of producing salvation, I generated a profound attitude of self-righteousness. I judged myself harshly, and others more so. I had trapped myself in sin. I felt insufficient, and soon became discouraged. Instead of pressing forward, I gave up on trying to save myself. I did nothing at all. But as I did less and less, my feeling of insufficiency only grew stronger. I had to come to terms with my own fallen nature and realize that, really, I'm not sufficient. God didn't call me because I'm qualified. He qualifies me. God looks at me through the perfection of His Son, imputed onto me through His sacrifice on the cross. Just as my sin was imputed onto Him as He bore the wrath of God for me. My insecurities have gone, leaving me with the assurance of my own salvation, the knowledge that my frailty is insignificant in the all-covering perfection of Jesus gives me a contentment that is beyond what I could have ever hoped for. That what should have been mine to bear, He took in full, taking my punishment upon Himself so that I could be saved. My flaws aren't seen anymore, but instead the righteousness of Christ. I have been paid for in full, and my sins are forgiven. And now, hardly a year later, work is pleasure for me. Slothfulness is very rarely a temptation. Learning is pleasure, and my former coping methods are no longer coping methods. They aren't ways to forget my own personal hardships anymore. Instead, they are a source of enjoyment for me. I still love books and movies, and I receive encouragement as it's intended now, and I've made huge strides in the way I walk, talk, and stand. I still experience most of the same physical pain and annoyances that I used to, only now my emotional pain is absent. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm no longer subject to the insecurities that would plague me regarding my abilities and worth. I'm content with having to work towards better physical health. I never had a true reason to be discontent. I have been given so much more than I deserve. My life is so much better than what I could have ever asked for. and I am eternally grateful and utterly humbled, amazed that God has chosen to save me and give me so much, that because of his Son, I am no longer a slave to sin, that now, instead of the overwhelming need to be saved, I am overwhelmingly grateful for my salvation and in total awe of God's goodness to me.
I am Rachel Boss, and I'm 14 years old. I'm happy to be here today. Thank you for this opportunity to come and share what I have to say. My parents are both Christians, and they've been so good to me. Ever since I could understand what they were saying, my parents have taught me about Christ. As I grew older, I started to know more about God. I received Jesus as Lord of my life when I was around 6 years old. I've gone to a Reformed Baptist church almost my whole life. Right around age 11, I really paid attention to what they were saying, what the pastors were saying at church and at care group. I got closer to God and learned a lot about Him. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 25, verse 4 through 5. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. I believe that I am a sinner saved by grace. I am very glad that God saved me at an early age. I want to serve Him my whole life.
Good morning. Morning. My name is Mark Viritano. I'm joining RBC along with my wife, Emily. We have three children, Vinny, Leo, and Carmela. And I am so blessed and excited to say we're expecting another. Thank you. And I am just so grateful and humbled to be at this church. I'm grateful and humbled to give God the glory and praise that He so deserves. And I just really thank you for this opportunity. And I've believed in God as long as I can remember. And I believe God's Spirit very, very gently called me when I was young. And growing up, I did have a neighbor that was a pastor. And he did have a peace and a joy in the Holy Spirit. And he had a love and thankfulness for God. And I also was blessed to attend a Christian high school. And we did have daily worship and Bible study. I just feel very, very blessed to have heard the gospel when I was very young. It's very difficult for me to say, and I'm very sad to say that when I was growing up, I ignored almost all of these godly influences. And I really think, and I really thought at that time, I could figure out life without God, that I could find my own way. And I put material things, and I felt self-glorifying things and self-glorifying activities ahead of God. I worshipped created things instead of our Creator. I was not saved. I did not have faith. And I lived a very ungodly life. I did not think about God's will, God's glory, or God's wisdom in any of my thoughts, my words, or my actions. I did not live my life wanting and praying to honor our great God in anything that I did. I think I truly believe that I could live my life without God in my heart. And without question, I think a person's life is a reflection of their heart. And without a godly heart, I was easily angered. I was not kind. I envied. I was proud. I was rude. I was self-seeking. I kept record of wrongs. I did not trust. I did not hope. And I certainly did not know how to love. I think I was failing God. I was failing God and not loving Him. And I was living a sinful life. And I was not a steward of any of the gifts and blessings in my life. And the absolute most precious of these gifts are my beautiful wife and children. The Lord called me to Him through wanting and needing to care for and serve my family. God had placed them under my care to give them godly love, and I had no idea how to do it. And I needed help. My life and my heart needed God. A dead spirit and a broken heart is what brought me to my knees. And for the first time, I prayed with urgent need and desire for salvation. And I will never again doubt the power of the Holy Spirit. God gave me hope. God gave me strength. And I put trust in God as our Lord and Savior. And He gave me a gift of faith. I repented for my sins, and the blood of Christ saved me. And my heart was transformed, and I feel like I was given a new life. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2, just gives me so much hope and so much encouragement. It says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. My walk in Christ is just beginning. From living in rebellion against God's authority to now living in obedience to Him and now delighting in His law. I wake up every morning with a thankful heart, knowing that I have been forgiven and have His infinite love and grace." God continues to work in sanctifying my heart through His wisdom and strength, and I am now able to battle my sins. I feel like loving God means that I hate sin, and I now desire to live a godly life. And I now live my life in constant prayer and remind myself of the good news of the gospel every day. The Lord has blessed me with the fruits of the Spirit, and through Him, I now have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have kindness. I have faithfulness. I have gentleness, and I have self-control. In the love of the Lord, I lead my family in worship. We do devotions, we sing songs of praise. And Emily and I teach our children God's word every day. God's sanctifying work is in all aspects of my life. And I now feel I can be a shepherd of all the gifts God has blessed me with. and give my family godly love. But the Lord's work has continued in leading us to this church. This body of Christ has held our hands in our journey in faith. Thank you for your hospitality, your teaching, and all the support and encouragement that you have given us. The families here at RBC have been an amazing witness of God's love and grace. Thank you for the blessing and privilege of joining this church. I am giving myself to Christ in baptism today. His death and resurrection has washed me of my sin. And I feel like I've been given a new life through repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I now live in joyful obedience to Him. I'd like to close with one of my absolute favorite passages of Scripture. It's Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary. He will not grow tired. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives us strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not be faint. Thank you. God bless.
Hi. I'm Emily Garitano. I really appreciate this opportunity. Mark and I are really excited about joining RBC today. Finding this church home has just been one of the ways in which God has answered our prayers, as Ephesians 3:20 describes, immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That verse also perfectly describes the work that God has done in my life over the last 5 years, because He has called me to things I never imagined and lavished me with love, grace, and mercy. I was blessed to be raised by parents who placed a very high priority on church and on my Christian education. We attended church nearly every Sunday, and they sacrificed to give me opportunities to learn about God. I was baptized as an infant and confirmed when I was about 14 years old. I recall asking Jesus to come into my heart as a young child. I attended a Christian university. I helped to lead a young families group at our former church. And I've attended church on a pretty regular basis all of my life. By my own definition, I was saved as a Christian. I truly thought that I was. However, now I do not believe that I was saved. Previously, I defined my salvation by all of these outward things that I just mentioned and my intellectual belief that Jesus was God's Son, sent to earth to pay for my sins. However, I have now come to realize that it's not my definition that matters. Only our Creator, God, defines the truth. And this is what He has been teaching me in His Word. Deuteronomy 36. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul that you may live. 1 John 2:3 through 5. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. And as for me, I wasn't particularly concerned with keeping God's commands. I didn't love God enough to be concerned about what offended Him or care about His plan to save me from the destruction of sin. I wasn't excited about reading the Bible, praising God, or really praying consistently. I understood that we are saved by faith alone, which I still know is true. However, I also took that to mean that it didn't really matter that much how I lived, which now I believe is not at all true. I looked at the sin in my life as relatively harmless, and I failed to see the irony in how much I was struggling due to that sin. I had some terrible attitudes. I was defining for myself what I thought was true and what I thought was good. I struggled to submit to authority. I struggled with pride. I struggled with selfishness. I struggled through very painful times early in our marriage due to my own sin. I struggled through incredibly painful times at work fueled by my sin. Truly, sin negatively affected all of my relationships. But God transformed my heart. And he did this in a variety of ways, through having children, my desire to see them flourish through faith, by blessing me with a very kind, faithful, and loving husband who himself was seeking after God, and through the example of my friend Aaron. Oh, I will never forget how Aaron prayed. Because she prayed as she knew Christ, and she genuinely loved him. And her example of love was love that was offended when God was offended. Her love was love that sought to please God and to praise God. And so I decided to pray for that kind of love for the Lord. And at the time, I remember being very scared about it. I was scared because I knew that it would radically change my life. I knew that it would mean times of painful growth and times that I was going to stand out and no longer be of this world. But I prayed, Lord, please give me a genuine love for you and bless me with a love for you so great that it completely changes my life. And of course, he did, because he always does. And so thank you, Jesus. Thank you for paying the debt that was entirely my own and seeking me even when I so clearly didn't deserve it. And although I'm humbled on a daily basis by just how much more work God has yet to do in me, thank you, Lord, for bringing me to where I am here today. A few years ago, I never would have imagined being in front of you right now telling you about my genuine love for Christ. I never imagined that following God's commands would make my life so many layers richer and more joyful and more peaceful, more meaningful. But that is precisely what submitting myself to God's authority and trusting in him has done for me. I never imagined that I would be standing right here about to be baptized as a believer. And for the first time, beginning to see the profound truth, knowing that it was not my own choosing to pray to God, to pray that prayer, asking God to let me love him more, but that it was God's will for me to do so, even though there was nothing in me that deserved it. So now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.